And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Deadline week is here. Business is about to pick up in a big way in the NHL, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 20 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga and Jay Conn with you.
Hey, and a couple trades since we last spoke. Nick, more Ovechkin goals as well. The great chase continues, so we'll get into that. Obviously, trade deadline week with Friday coming up and teams trying to finalize these rosters. Same thing goes for your fantasy rosters as well. This episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Jake, lots to cover today. We got Pete Jensen coming on for a look at week 20, the waiver wire options. Chris Meaney for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. But how do the Florida Panthers, out of nowhere, Jake, grab Seth Jones from the Chicago Blackhawks? What'd you make of that move?
Well, I can't wait to get your take on this. It's a very interesting trade. We did talk about Seth Jones on the show, and we talked about how difficult that trade would be. Obviously, there's a lot of money involved, a lot of term involved. So the way they structure it with Chicago eating some money, honestly, I think from a Blackhawks perspective, I like the move just to move on from Seth Jones and move on from that contract, even though they are eating a chunk of it. I'm not so sure about the fit in Florida, Nick. Maybe we get some power play time here. I know the Panthers needed a defenseman, obviously losing Brandon Montour in the offseason, not being able to bring him back. But the fit for Seth Jones in Florida, like, do you see life here from a fantasy perspective where that file is on the way up?
Look, never doubt Bill Zito. He knows this guy from Columbus. That's the first thing I'll say. But I actually do foresee an uptick in boost when it comes to the fantasy file of Seth Jones, just because he's out of Chicago. The writing was on the wall for a long period of time. The guy voices displeasure in the media. I think he's going to have some newfound life with the Florida Panthers, who, yeah, won the Stanley Cup last season, where I could see a pathway where Jones is actually running the first power play unit for these guys.
Well, yeah, I think from a motivation standpoint too, right? Whenever you get a player that's stuck in a situation like that, and he was very vocal, especially towards the end, basically calling out himself, calling out the team, lack of improvement, and he got what he wanted, right? I mean, what better spot? There's probably only a couple better spots you could think of in the National Hockey League to land on. Goes to the defending champs, playing with the Florida Panthers. Obviously, a lot more talent on that roster than he was playing with the Chicago Blackhawks. I always say that about defensemen. You need guys in front of you that can finish. Well, he's got way more of those guys in Florida than he does in Chicago. So we'd have to think that the value will go up. Maybe we temper our expectations a little bit that he's just going to, you know, go off and put up these monster numbers, but a little more power play time and obviously some life to that Seth Jones file, Nick.
You think Ekblad's looking around being like, so am I getting paid or am I going to July 1? Because that was my first question when I saw this trade go down. But I do like the move for Florida. Fantasy perspective for Chicago, I think this is great news for Alex Vlasic, who has taken that next step in his career this season. Very raw team, we know, but the Hawks have to take that next step at some point in time. We thought it was going to be that last offseason. Didn't work out. Some interesting, you know, adds to that roster, but we'll see what they have in store for this summer. Spencer Knight in Chicago, I thought was so interesting because he is the goaltender of the future. And my hottest take on today's podcast, in the next 2 to 3 years, Knight will be a marquee elite netminder in this league. Is that too far to go?
It's calling your shot. It is calling your shot. I wouldn't be surprised. And we saw some life from him this year. I'm a little bit surprised. Obviously, you have to give up something to get something if you're Florida. And I'm a little bit surprised, especially with the age of Sergei Bobrovsky, that Florida would move on from a Spencer Knight because of that talent that we've seen, Nick, and what you're saying, the fact that you think that he could be one of those front-end goaltenders. Chicago's going to have to do a lot more around him. If it's going to happen on the Blackhawks, that roster just needs to improve because it's not a great spot for a goaltender to play right now. So from a fantasy angle, though, are you hanging on to him still here down the stretch? Because obviously this is a major downgrade in terms of the team in front of him. Would you just send him to the wire? And is this more of a prediction for the next couple of years?
It depends if you're in a keeper league. If you're in a keeper league, maybe you hold on to Spencer Knight, but I think his value is a shot. He's going to Chicago. Maybe there's a bit in this team down the stretch where they have nothing bad to play for and they're playing for new contracts, but they're so bad. And I think they're going to continue to bottom out where I think the value has been diminished. Like, it's hilarious. You go from the best team in hockey to the worst team in hockey or one of the worst teams in hockey. I think this is like a futures play, Jake. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I think so. I wouldn't want him on my roster down the stretch here into fantasy playoffs unless you're really desperate for a goaltender. And look, some of us are, right? Maybe you play in a bit of a deeper league where you might roster four goaltenders. Then I think you could talk about having Spencer Knight on the Blackhawks, or you look for a good matchup. I don't know. I don't know if there's too many good matchups for the Blackhawks, if those exist. But you know how it is, Nick. Sometimes you get late in your week. It's a weekend. Some of your categories are already shot. Maybe you try to reach for a win or catch lightning in a bottle. I think that's the only time I would roster Knight this year, but some potential for the future, and I am very curious what the Blackhawks do with that roster this offseason, Nick. This is a huge offseason coming up for the Chicago Blackhawks. Year three of Connor Bedard next year cannot go anything like we have watched year two go in Chicago.
I just missed the days. The shot prop was automatic for Connor Bedard. Doesn't want to shoot the puck anymore, and it's just excruciating for me from a betting perspective. We'll get to that later on with Chris Meaney. But I thought it was Groundhog Day over the weekend. Gustav Nyquist back to Minnesota. Second time in the past three deadlines here.
Well, Minnesota has dealt with so many injuries, as we know this year, Nick. They need any healthy body they can get. I actually don't mind this trade. I don't mind it. I'm curious what the Wild do here moving forward. Kind of like what I said about Chicago. They're in a much different position, but I think they have a really interesting offseason coming up with some salary cap space to spend for the first time in a while. A roster, I think, that has cornerstone pieces that I really do think, like, you're calling your shot with Spencer Knight, Nick. I'll call my shot with the Minnesota Wild. I think over the next, let's say, 2 years, we see the Minnesota Wild go on a very deep run in the postseason. But that has to come with the asterisk that Bill Guerin spends his cap space wisely. And I'm curious if maybe they, you know, keep Gus Nyquist, give him some sort of contract at the end of this. But your initial thoughts on this deal and fantasy value with Nyquist in Minnesota right now?
I wanted to give some love to John Hines, because he's not going to win the Jack Adams, but the job he's done without Kirill Kaprizov for a pretty big chunk of time, pretty masterful. But they can't score goals. And all I could think about when Nyquist got traded, do you remember this guy had 23 goals and 75 points last season? Like, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell that was.
He was one of the great fantasy stories in all of last season. I honestly scooped him off the wire in a league, and it was one of those, okay, weekly streamers, got a good schedule, plays well. Okay, I will keep him on the roster for another week, and then all of a sudden he becomes a season-long option. Obviously, he hasn't been able to follow it up this year, but who has had, name me a player that's had success in Nashville this year, Nick. I'll hang up and listen, right? So it's been a struggle for everybody. And in Minnesota, again, maybe it's just a change of scenery, obviously a place that he might be comfortable with. And as much as they've been dealing with a lot of injuries this year, there are still enough healthy bodies on that roster. I think that he could find a decent line combination, give you some sort of fantasy value down the stretch.
Final verdict, put him on your watch list. He played with Rossi and Boldy in Sunday's beautiful 1-0 win against the Boston Bruins. Let's talk some injuries here before we get to Pete Jensen. Jack Hughes goes down on Sunday. That's big. Quinn Hughes banged up again. Brad Marchand, Jake Sanderson. Big week for injuries here.
Jack Hughes is very concerning, especially with the Devils. They just haven't really looked right to me all season long. It kind of looks like we're on a collision course with Carolina and New Jersey in that first round matchup, right? That 2-3 in the Metro. And both teams to me have been underwhelming. I wouldn't call them bad, but underwhelming based on expectations this year. And to lose a guy like Jack Hughes, still murky on the timeline, there's nobody you're out there on the waiver wire replacing Jack Hughes with, right?
Nah, I mean, internal Dawson Mercer, we are going to get to the week 20 waiver wire. There are some options for you, but losing Jack Hughes just stinks. It's around like fantasy playoffs, deadline time, even Quinn in Vancouver. Philip Hronek's a guy I would look at internally in Boston, another team that can't score. Losing Marchand, I'm not going to announce that team dead just yet, but that's a tough blow for them. Morgan Geeky's a guy I would look at having a great contract here. And it's been a difficult year for Jake Sanderson, who I really felt could take that next step into the upper echelon of defensemen. But Thomas Chabot is probably a guy I would look at right now, too.
Yeah, Chabot's been sneaky good, right, with a little bit of insulation back there. I don't know if Sanderson can act as a bit of a security blanket, that does he get exposed a little bit. But I think the points will certainly be there. That Marchand injury, it looked concerning, Nick, the way that he left the ice in that amount of distress. You know, this hockey players you rarely see leave the ice like that, and it's not something long-term. So very concerned there, and Boston's playoff spot's obviously been in jeopardy all year as well.
Don't forget the great chase as well. He's almost there. Needs 11 goals here, Jakey.
Well, it feels like we're getting one almost every game, even when the Capitals, and they actually are finally facing some adversity as a team, right? First time we've seen Washington lose some games here in a row and maybe go through this road bump. Look, it was going to happen at some point. It has to over an 82-game season. I think they're going to be just fine here long term, but Ovi's holding up his end of the bargain, right? He's scoring every single game and feels like it's only a matter of time before we get within 5 goals of Gretzky, and then it's really on.
I can't wait to see the celebration. Looking forward to this week in fantasy hockey, week 20. Let's set up the schedule. Then Pete Jensen comes in March 3rd to 9th. We have 54 games in total, 6, 10, 5, 9, 6, 10, 8 for 7 days. Of the 4-game teams, Anaheim, Buffalo, Chicago, Dallas, LA, Islanders, Rangers, Flyers, San Jose, Seattle, Washington, Winnipeg. 2-game teams, just one. It's Utah. But a very fascinating week, Jake, because there are going to be some trades. We even saw it on Sunday. Riley Smith being held out of the lineup for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, and I think that's what this week is all about in fantasy. Obviously, fantasy playoffs are coming up very, very soon. So if you can play this smart and maybe find a guy that's hanging out on the wire, that gets dealt, that ends up in a better spot, I think that's how I'm playing this week. Just keeping my eye on all that information, just like what you said about Riley Smith, right? You see a guy not going to be in the lineup, maybe you make that pickup even before a trade could happen, right? So keep your eye out there, all the insiders. And I think the trades are going to be coming rather quickly here.
My mistake, by the way. Riley Smith is on the New York Rangers. Just that type of year where you don't remember that. But anyways, Pete Jensen coming in week 20. Happy deadline week, Pete. What's going on?
What's up, guys? I'm seeing too much Seth Jones slander for some reason about his defensive play. I mean, take Seth Jones and Connor Bedard off the Blackhawks the past 2 years, and that is an all-time bad roster. So I'm giving him some credit. I think he's going to turn it around, whether he's the number one defenseman or the number two behind Forsling. I just feel like he's going to go from 26 minutes a game to 23, 24, quality over quantity, power play one. He's got 15 power play points this year, so I'm a big fan of this move for the defending champs.
I can't lie, Pete. I saw this trade. All I could think about was your boy Spencer Knight. I know he's not on your list this week, but I like the look for Jones. I just think getting him out of Chicago is going to do wonders for him. And this time of year, people are just looking for defensemen. You got a guy like Alex Vlasic, who you should consider adding right now, but guys like Lindgren, who got traded. John Klingberg's been pretty decent with Edmonton in terms of point production, too.
Right, and if you look at leagues in fantasy that don't count plus-minus, go get Alex Vlasic. He's going to be the one playing 23-24 a game with Jones gone. He's going to be power play one with Bedard and Ryan Donato, who's also been a garbage-time fantasy point producer, to say the least, all season long, especially lately. So, yeah, and then as far as Spencer Knight and his keeper appeal, Dynasty League appeal, I mean, I need to see this guy put forth a better even strength save percentage. 9-10 this year at even strength, that's not cutting it. And he was playing on a great team in Florida. I need the quality to improve, and he's going to have to. I mean, he could put up, you know, a 9.05, 9.10 and still get battered up in Chicago these days.
Petey, the year is 2025, and we have a Geno Malkin sighting on your waiver wire list, which I love to see. Look, we know Pittsburgh is bad, especially defensively, but they're playing these crazy run-and-gun back-and-forth games. We saw one on Sunday against the Maple Leafs as well, so maybe a little fantasy value still from Geno in terms of the offensive side, right?
From everything we've heard lately, it sounds like he wants to stay in Pittsburgh. I know that Carlson might want to go. I know that Dubas might want to trade him. But is that deal really going to get done during the season? And therefore, you're probably going to be looking at this core group in Pittsburgh remaining intact. And that's going to lead to a lot of nonsense points, garbage points, whatever you want to say, points that don't matter. They're not going to win a lot of games this year. But again, Malkin on his own line is still dynamite. We saw him really elevate his game since his return to play after Four Nations. Maybe a little chip on his shoulder, maybe just a little fresher legs for Geno, and he's been erupting since coming back.
Pete, I see Brock Nelson on your list. Is this because you think he's going to get traded?
Yeah, I think that the Islanders should shift in that direction. There's also Braden Schenn on the list. There's another guy, Oliver Bjorkstrand. I've always been a big fan of that player. Not enough people are talking about the state of the Seattle Kraken. I think they need to kind of retool a little bit. I mean, if there's a team out there that hasn't really moved the needle at all in fantasy this year, it's the Seattle Kraken, unfortunately. So Bjorkstrand's a high shot volume player from the past. I've always liked him. He joins a contender. He could see a serious uptick in fantasy value, as could Nelson if he goes to a place like either Carolina or Winnipeg or Minnesota or anything like that.
I always say you're usually good for one, at least one Columbus Blue Jacket on the list, Pete, and no different this week. And it's nice to see Boone Jenner's name back out there. Have people maybe forgotten how solid this guy is in fantasy just because he's been out all season?
You know he's always going to give you a touch of goal scoring. You know that he's going to get you the hits and the blocks for a forward as good as anybody when he's healthy. But 7 assists in 4 games since coming back, including 2 in the outdoor game. And what a spectacle that was for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They look like a different level than we've seen. I know that they've been scoring goals lately. 3 straight with 5-plus goals going into the outdoor game was something they've only done once in franchise history. I saw that's hard to wrap your mind around, but Columbus has a great offense. And even Elvis Merzlikins, 22 wins in 40 games this year. You got to start taking him seriously on the waiver wire as well.
I'm taking my ticket plus 1,500 seriously on the Jackets to make the playoffs prior to the season, boys. I'm feeling good about that one. I'm feeling good about Logan Stankoven having a strong finish. I think it just shows you how difficult it is to play in the NHL. So I like this look right now, picking up Logan Stankoven, Pete.
He was moved up to the top line, and maybe he'll never look back. I mean, he's up there with Robertson, who's been one of the hottest players in the league since January 1st. Roope Hintz as well. Dallas is scoring the puck every which way, and thanks to some of the depth scoring of Stankoven. Stankoven is actually edge stats alert, 80th percentile or better in high-danger shots on goal, mid-range shots on goal, and long-range shots on goal among forwards. So he checks all the boxes, just needed to get that better usage, and now he's going to prepare for liftoff here.
Speaking of top lines, PD, how about Ryan Donato, a guy that's been moved up and down that lineup a lot in Chicago? What are you liking about the potential of Donato with the Blackhawks right now?
Yeah, whether he's playing with Bedard or not at even strength or on the power play, he usually gets a lot of shifts with Bedard. But I just see a wide open, topsy-turvy style of play. A lot of goals allowed, but they're also going to play spoiler. Like, nice little win for Chicago against the Anaheim Ducks, who, by the way, I wanted to give them a shout out, not only for the bad loss, but like somehow they're in the playoff conversation. They're only 6 points back of the final wild card spot with a game in hand. They did blow that game, though, so I'm not taking them seriously, but they will play spoiler, the Chicago Blackhawks, especially if kind of Spencer Knight gives them a little jolt with the best player of his career, if he really takes this opportunity seriously.
Pete, I'm not playing this Anaheim Ducks game with you. Like, we did this at Buffalo a lot. They're not making the playoffs. I'm sorry to break it to you on March 3rd here, okay?
Well, at least consider some of these guys. Jackson Lacombe, we talked about him last week. He's been red hot. He's got like a 5-game point streak.
Yeah.
Troy Terry, you know, some of these other guys that are diamonds in the rough. Again, that team is a long way away from being anything that could ever contend for a playoff spot, like we said. But yeah, some good young talent.
We need to do a podcast, an inquisition on what the hell is going on with Trevor Zegras, man. He was like a fantasy option. Now he's like nowhere to be found. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Chris Meany, my man, how are you? The Great Chase is heating up, but again, I'm so in love with this Capitals team. Before we went to air today on this Monday, Charlie Lindgren with the extension too.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about Washington, right? They made those moves in the offseason. I think everybody just overlooked, you know, what they did. And Jacob Trickern, I don't think, gets enough love. He's been a fantasy hockey beast, and he's having a terrific season. And I heard Jake talk about it earlier. They're actually going through a little bit of adversity here for the first time. Their first 3-game losing streak. I wonder if the Senators go in and win. I kind of like them as an upset, as a dog today. Jake Sanderson's on the ice. It sounds like he'll be able to play. And Logan Thompson, 3-plus goals allowed in 5 of his past 6, and didn't have a great February. 3.59 goals against average. He had 878 save percentage. He only has 2 wins in his last 6. I mean, listen, he wasn't going to play lights out the entire season. This is just a trend that's happening right now. And for the Senators, Jake, Brady Tkachuk back in their lineup over the weekend. Pinto as well. Both of those guys scored. Tkachuk doing his thing. 9 shot attempts, 6 shots, power play goal, 3 hits. So, and even Chabot and Sanderson, they come on for 21 shot attempts in that game. Again, I know it was the Sharks, but they're getting some contributions from their back end. So I kind of like them tonight.
well, in the sense, have to get a move on, right? They kind of limped into Four Nations break, then limped out of Four Nations break, and other teams in the East have been going, so they have to get a move on. That should be a really interesting game on Monday. You're right, Meany. Is there any teams you're looking at this week with the trade deadline coming up that you think could make a big splash that maybe you'd want to jump in earlier on the future market, right, before that line moves? Is there any teams that you think should be very active and aggressive this week in the trade market?
This is a Blue Jackets show. Why not them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why not Columbus? Honestly, they're a couple points back of the New Jersey Devils. You know, Jack Hughes, that injury didn't look good. You know, Jacob Markstrom's back. That's great. You guys talked about Boone Jenner. We've been talking about, you know, Adam Fantilli and Kirill Marchenko and Voronikov and Zach Werenski all year long. They have a ton of cap space. Don Waddell said last week he thought, you know, he was honest. He said in October he thought that they would be sellers, like a guy like Provorov. Is a good shutdown defenseman on an expiring contract. He thought potentially that would be a guy that they would ship at the deadline. No chance. Now maybe they are buyers. They have the cap space. I like them as a playoff squad. They're getting some decent goaltending from Elvis. So that to me, I don't think that they're legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. But Nick, you have the future. They could upset a team or two. There's no doubt in my mind. They play a really good brand of 5-on-5 hockey. And if they add something, Nick, they may go on a little bit of a run.
Shout out to my guy, Dean Evason, doing an amazing job with the Columbus Blue Jackets. I just think there's so much value in continuing to bet on that team. I think down the stretch, people are going to naysay and be like, no, we don't believe in them. It's okay. I will believe in them. I'll continue to pound the Columbus Blue Jackets. Just circling back on the Ottawa-Washington game, I will continue to play that Ovechkin shot prop. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. The 3.5 number, it's been north of that 5 of the last 6 outings. I think that continues against the Sens here in the Great Chase, so I'll play that. I was thinking about the under. You guys might have talked me out of playing that whatsoever, but we expect Seth Jones' debut tonight as well. Means, how do you play the Florida Panthers down the stretch? I like the point prop for Jones, by the way. The Battle of Florida, does it have 3-point game written all over it?
Yeah, it may, and Tampa's playing really good, a quiet 8-game winning streak. Vasilevskiy looking pretty good as well. You know, Seth Jones taking a look over at Bet365, plus 125 for a point, plus 155 for an assist. How about plus 450 for a power play point? I don't know if he's going to take over the top power play unit right away, but that's a number as if he was a Chicago Blackhawk. You know, you look at the Florida Panthers, their third in power play opportunities. Aaron Ekblad's a nice player, but you know, they've been juggling around since they lost Brendan Montour. They didn't really place anyone on that top power play unit. So I like Seth Jones to go in there and take over the number one unit right away. And we know that the Panthers are loaded. So I kind of like Tampa, maybe. This is the first of a back-to-back. We'll see if Vasilevskiy goes. But just the way that they're playing hockey right now. But it's hard to ignore the point prop for Seth Jones. And if you're an owner, Jake, you held on to him. This is a terrific move. You love the upside going forward.
Well, I was going to say, I like Tampa. I'm just going to continue to ride the Lightning here, guys. 8-game win streak. Now, Florida's actually playing pretty good, too. 3 wins in a row, yeah, for the Panthers. So, great rivalry game. We know there's a history here between these two sides. But I like the way the Tampa's playing right now, Meany. I also don't mind some future looks. Now, maybe some of the value's gone because of this win streak. But still sitting 14-1 to win the Stanley Cup over at Bet365. I don't think that's a terrible number. I don't think there's much separating Tampa, Florida, Toronto, in my opinion, in that Atlantic side. And who knows, Tampa's always been really good at making the salary cap work, making these sorts of moves. Maybe they get aggressive this week and make some sort of move to bolster the roster a little bit.
Yeah, that's certainly something that I don't think any of us would be surprised if Tampa made one of those moves. And I look at the Metro, and Washington is having their run. We've talked about them, but Carolina needs something else. I'm not sold on them. The Devils with the Hughes injury, I'm not sold on them. So I think it's a really good opportunity for the Toronto Maple Leafs, for the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers. If they get back to the finals a third straight year, that's tough to do, really. So I like that angle. Jake, of maybe Tampa. Nick, you follow the Leafs pretty closely. Like, I really like where they're at overall in the Eastern Conference. I think it's a top-heavy conference.
It is, and those teams specifically, Florida, Toronto, Tampa, I think have sort of separated themselves from the pack when it comes to that division. But yeah, there's just something about Tampa right now, and I would love to know the over-under on Vasilevskiy, Vezina finalist nominees in his career. Like every year, I think we've solidified who the three are going to be right now. It's going to be Hellebuck, Thompson, and Vasilevskiy. I mean, he's been out of this world. It is deadline time, means, mark my words, I think the futures price will change in the next 5 days on the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you agree?
Yeah, this is a team that always does something. Yeah, for the better, for sure. I look at some of these Western Conference teams. The Oilers are favored at 7-1. The Jets at 9-1. They need to show me something. I think Edmonton as well. They need to do something. But I look at Dallas at +950. They're my favorite team in the NHL. I think they're absolutely loaded everywhere. We're seeing Thomas Harley as well. Just a breakout season from him. He's averaging 25 minutes per game since Miro Heiskanen went down. But you look at Vegas at 11-1. Like, that's a number that you're talking about, Nick, could change, could move to 9-1. And I think they need something. Just like in their top six, Victor Olofsson, Brendan Saad, like it's nice and it's cute here in March, but come playoff time, they're going to want to have something else inside their top six and move maybe those guys down into a bottom six role. But Thomas Hertl's had a great season. They're loaded on the blue line. There's no question about that. Shea Theodore comes back come playoff time, and Adin Hill's already proven to all of us that, you know, he can win a Stanley Cup. So I do like where they're at, but I can't get off the Stars, guys. Like, Jake, this team is absolutely loaded. Duchesne, NY Johnson, and Robertson inside the top 10 in scoring since January. I mentioned Harley. They have the best penalty kill in the league, top five in goals. They've been to the Western Conference Finals back-to-back years. I think this is the year, and they don't even need to add, and they just may get some depth on the blue line.
Well, and I think they've just quietly been going about their business this year, Meany. Like, they're not like they've blown anybody away with their record, but they're winning enough games. They're right there in that playoff conversation. It's what you said at the end. They've seemed built for playoff hockey, and they've won rounds recently, so I think they know what it takes come postseason time. So I do like that look. I still like how that roster shakes out. Guys, we get the battle in New York. I don't care where these teams are in the standings. Monday night, anytime Rangers and Islanders play, I am interested, taking place at Madison Square Garden on Monday. Nick, do you have a play on this one? I'm kind of leaning towards the Rangers. Pick them on home ice here. If they want any shot at making the playoffs, they got to get a move on. I don't know what the Islanders are going to do this week. If Lou actually is going to sell off some pieces based on past history, they seem to like what they have there on Long Island. But I'm going to roll with the Rangers money line here.
It is a must win for both teams, but I like to look at previous matchups, and it seems like the Rangers have had the upper hand as of late. I think they've won five of the last six regular season meetings with the Islanders, so I'm going to play the Rangers, and they got lucky too. They got quick in there on Sunday. They won that game via shutout, and to rest Shesterkin for this battle in New York, I think obviously is massive. Maybe you look at the under as well. A couple other looks from Tuesday, I like Columbus, Tampa over. And Nashville and Boston, I will take the under in that game.
Yeah, I got a couple things here. Mika Zibanejad, we've been hard on Mika really all year long. But he's got 15 points in 10 games since they acquired JT Miller. He's hit the score sheet in 9 of those 10 games. And JT Miller has 8 points over a current 5-game point streak, so he's been good. You could take both of those guys for +130 over at Bet365 for a point. They play together at 5-5 and on the power play. And the best game of the night may actually be in Montreal between the Sabres and the Canadiens. This is the first time all year Lane Hudson hasn't been plus money for a point. He's -105 for an assist over at Bet365. Guys, these are the only defensemen that have more assists than Lane Hudson this year. Zach Werenski, Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, Adam Fox. That's it. End of the list. He's been fantastic. If you want to do a same game parlay between the Canadiens and the Sabres, you could take Suzuki, Caulfield, and Hudson for a point, Tage Thompson and Paterka, +625. You get the 30% profit boost. It turns into 9-1 over at Bet365. That exact same game parlay did hit over the weekend when those two teams played.
Spicy. I like it, Means. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, it is deadline week. I love this stuff, bud.
I was going to say, this is your week here. This is your time to shine. My question to you as we wrap up this show, do you have a different someone make a trade shirt for every day of deadline week? Because I feel like you got to wear it every day, but you don't wear the same shirt every day, right? So do you have one for each day?
I do have a couple extras. This is version 2.0 of the t-shirt. So we're feeling good about this week. Okay. And I forecast a lot of activity. We got deadline number one. Prior to the Four Nations, I think all hell is going to break loose over the next couple days here. That's my shot. That's my call.
Well, yeah, it feels like the dam maybe broke a little bit over the weekend. It was very quiet last week, eerily quiet. But I do think teams wanted to maybe get a look out of at their, or GMs wanted to get a look at their teams out of Four Nations. Okay, are you winning? Are we losing? What kind of team are we going to be? Saw a couple pretty big moves. I was surprised they were able to make a Seth Jones trade happen. I think we knew Nyquist was going to get dealt. No real surprise there. And still a lot of big names out there, and a lot of teams I think should be moving off some pieces. Nick, should be a really fun week.
Some housekeeping notes. Make sure to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted, Energy Line as well, with Nate Thompson and Julie Stewart-Binks.
Fantasy playoffs right around the corner here, Nick. A lot of things happening all at once, right? We get Four Nations, we come out of it, now we get the deadline, and then fantasy playoffs is going to be a lot of fun, and very curious to see what a lot of these teams do this week.
Fire me up, Jake. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.